Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I was hoping you said the San Diego Sockers there for whatever reason. Yeah. I thought that was going to be the word coming out of your mouth instead of Padres. Yeah, they were.
I might have said Chargers.
Do you remember the San Diego Sockers?
Sure.
They were the outdoor or were they the indoor?
I think they were outdoor. I think they were NASL, right?
I think they may be back, Josh.
With the Cosmos and all those.
With the Cosmos, yeah, that was a good league.
They were in that incarnation of professional outdoor soccer. They might be back as some other form, though. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they are, because I want to say when we were out there last week, I swear I saw a sign that said something about the San Diego. Do they have Landon Donovan on their team?
It's a volcano of hot talent lava.
I don't think so. I don't think Landon's playing anymore.
I don't know. I saw something about the San Diego Sockers. Ryan, can you look that up?
It could be. I wouldn't be surprised if they were.
S-O-C-K-E-R-S, not S-O-C-C-E-R-S.
The underleague, like the USL?
Yeah, something like that. But I remember going to Cosmos games as a kid. That was my team back then. They had a lot of players.
Pele
did play, but not when I was there. You know, not when I was old enough to remember. I don't think that he did. And I remember that being outside a giant stadium and seeing the New York, New Jersey Cosmos or whatever the hell they were going by at that time. But that was my incarnation with outdoor soccer. And I just remember the San Diego Sockers. I always thought that was a really good name for a team. Like, there's a lot of...
still a thing, by the way.
It is, right? I thought so, yeah. I think it's a really good name.
SDSockers.com for more information.
There you go. What league are they playing in this year?
I don't know.
They playing today out in the snow?
NASL?
Indoor.
Yeah. Major Arena Soccer League.
There you go. Is that the same league that the Kansas City Comets are in?
Oh, you're right. Landon Donovan does.
Yes, they are.
So Landon Donovan's still playing it. Okay, they got a big banner on their website. Landon plays for us.
Landon plays for us. I swear, like I wasn't, you know, that messed
good
up
for
out
them.
There. I was like, I swear, I saw
it's a nice little hook.
Landon Donovan plays for us.
There you go.
So who knows more about soccer on this fine winter's morn, huh? Me or you, Mr. Soccer?
Oh,
he
was done. I know he had like a stint with like a Mexican team, kind of like a. Guy in Major League.
Victory lap on that. That's good.
I am taking a victory lap on this one. I know my soccer. I know what I'm doing here. I didn't wake up yesterday.
Woke up in Mexico with a big hat and a hangover.
Jake Taylor.
And then
Donovan's like, could have said you're from the Yankees.
Donovan thought he was going to call from the New York Red Bulls, and it was the San Diego Sockers.
Of the indoor league. How much do you think they're shelling out to pay Landon Donovan to go and be a participant in indoor soccer?
I don't know. Not enough to, you know, finance the cost of living there, but I think he's probably doing all right.
I mean, you got to pay him a lot, right?
I would think.
Are you generating enough money to pay Landon Donovan to participate in indoor soccer?
That's a good hook for somebody to come out.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. They also have a Star Wars day. They show all the players wearing.
That's more of a hook than Landon Donovan is right now.
Masks.
Come on out and see. Who was the guy that played for the Twins? Harmon Killebrew, and he played for the Royals for his last year or whatever. Come on out and watch Ty Law play.
I could do that. I mean, you know, Anna Kournikova comes and plays tennis. I mean, different beast a little bit, but, you know, you'd go watch a tennis match in Kansas City at the Plaza.
Sure.
You know, you'd go out and watch some indoor soccer if Landon Donovan was there. Yeah, probably.
If Landon Donovan comes to take on the Kansas City Comets, are you going?
I might.
That's a no.
Sounds like a solid mic for me.
That's a no.
Put me down for a maybe.
You can tell when the octave went up.
I might.
That's probably no.
No, it's probably no.
Landon Donovan is not listening right now.
But it's a good hook. It's a good hook, though, for others.
Well, it doesn't work for me,
but I'm just saying it might work for others.
I'm telling you what, man. It's very reminiscent of Dennis Rodman coming here to play.
Bunch of guys you never heard of or Landon Donovan. I think Landon Donovan's going to make you think, oh, maybe I'll go check out a San Diego Sockers game.
Worm didn't even show up for that game.
No, he did not.
The Worm did not show. That's what I'm saying. They'll promote, oh, Landon Donovan's coming on the take on your Kansas City Comets. No show.
Attention fans. Due to issues beyond our control, Dennis Rodman will not be playing tonight for the Las Vegas Jam or whoever the hell it was.
It was the Long Beach Salt Dogs or something.
And then the place went, boo!
Which crowd was more upset? The crowd that went to see Dennis Rodman or the crowd that came to see Johnny Cueto?
Ooh. Ooh. You were there at the Cueto one.
Oh, was
and,
I?
And you said everybody was kind of...
Everybody was pretty calm. Kind of, yeah.
Come on, I was at Hale Arena.
So you were there.
I was there when Rodman was scheduled to be there. Yeah, mm-hmm. They like booked us like, hey, go down and do the night show there.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We'll go there. And then place was pretty crowded, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then you felt people, they were coming. And then Karen, I don't think Rodman's here. Oh, crap. You guys going to tell him? Because we're not saying anything. And then suddenly the PA guy announced it. Boo!
Yeah, that was not good. Yeah,
and I'm sure they had uniforms. That team had showed up.
Oh, it God. Was like, my was wife like, worked for that
it was,
team.
I want to say it was Kobe's dad was coaching.
Uh-huh.
Jelly Bean Bryant was coaching the team.
We got him.
And
what a great nickname.
And Dennis Rodman was supposed to be playing for him and never showed. So.
You had it right the first time, by the way. It was the Long Beach Jam.
The Long Beach Jam. Nicely done, Josh.
I said Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Oh, but yeah. Then never Las mind. Vegas Jam.
I got half of it. You got the other half.
L Jam, yeah.
My wife worked for that league and worked for the KC Knights for, I don't even know if it was a couple years. Maybe it was
KC
one season.
Knights.
I think they still owe her, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars in back pay because... Yeah. They decided they weren't going to pay their bills. And they
should have called the Carolina Hurricanes owner. He's always looking to put money in.
Yeah, he's got cash, right? Somebody told me yesterday that it's tied into hockey here in Kansas City. Like, this is a great move by him. I'm like, why? Why would you invest $250 million and buy a football league?
Because you can be on the board of directors.
Because you can
That's
be
why.
On the board of directors. Because you can. Because you're a billionaire. You got nothing else to do. Like, investing in these minor league sports, man, it's just it really is a very, very, very risky business because a lot of times people are looking for a quick fix to get their money back in investments these days, and no matter what it is. And minor league sports or sports in general just aren't going to give you that quick fix that you're looking for right away. It takes a while to build a fan base and to build a following and to build a crowd and to build, you know, loyal fans that want to go to these games all the time and be supporters of your team. You can't just expect to open the doors on a Tuesday and be sold out by a Wednesday and everybody's making their money back. It just doesn't work that way. And I hope this AAF lasts. It'd be fun to see, you know, competitive football, you know, taking place when football is not taking place. To give us something to kind of fill the void of football and maybe work as a developmental league. But call me skeptical on this one. I'm skeptical on this one because it seems like a lot of these minor league leagues, you know, are hit it and quit it. They're in for a year and they're out and they're on their way. And people are left wondering, you know, what's going on here? Why aren't we succeeding? It's because with anything in life, you've got to give it time. You've got to give it an opportunity to take off, and I think especially sports in general. I mean, we and me in particular, we've all been too quick to want to pull the trigger on everything and not give something time to, you know, take shape, take form, to get a plan in there, to work something out, to give somebody the opportunity to have success. So this guy's investing $250 million. I hope he doesn't expect to get $300 million out of it tomorrow, because if that's his expectation, then that's a failed investment by his part, and the league's going to fail.
I think I would be less skeptical of that move if they didn't make him the chairman, too. Mm-hmm. It seemed like just such a weird thing. Like if you put in your money, we're going to put a crown on you.
Correct.
And it's like, okay, so that is a reek of desperation.
Right.
And then reports yesterday, that, you know, they didn't make payroll.
In week two.
And they, it was a glitch, and they've taken care of this sounds like the makings of a bad idea.
Right, because we've heard this idea before, Josh, in minor league sports. It happens all the time. How many people do you know that haven't gotten paid from working in minor league sports?
Yeah, everywhere. If this guy was on board before the season started and they made him as the chairman, it would give legitimacy to the league, right?
Sure, yeah,
you got all these parts, and plus you got this big investment from the Carolina Hurricanes owner,
mm-hmm.
and he's also the chairman or whatever.
Right.
You're doing that heading into week three?
Right, because you couldn't make payroll.
And you're supposed to believe, like, oh, yeah, this is somebody just looking at an opportunity to get into this great league. No, you swung and missed, and you overspent,
mm-hmm.
and now you're trying to catch up. This is not the makings of a long-term healthy league.
No, and you're not just paying players. You're paying people in your front office to do the job. You're paying marketing people. You're paying business people. You're paying trainers.
You're paying stadiums for rental.
And whatever you're paying the networks to televise your games, because you're not getting a check from these networks. The reason these networks are in is because that league bought the airtime to be on these networks. That's how that works. They purchase the airtime in order to be on
cash
the network.
Front.
Yeah, I mean, that's and that's what you have to do, man. I hope CBS and Turner and all them did get their cash in advance, because this league could be around for a year. And if you're taking $250 million investments in week three because you can't make payroll, it doesn't spell a lot of success, in my opinion anyway. Hopefully they prove me wrong, but it just doesn't spell a lot of success for me.
Speaking of cash up front, do we know if Manny Machado got the big check? Did they just give him the big cardboard check?
I think he did, right? Why wouldn't you give him the big cardboard check?
10 years, $300 million to join the San Diego Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Who had the biggest offseason deal last year with Eric Hosmer at $144 million. So they spent $544 million on two players in the last 2 years.
That's unbelievable.
Wow.
Put that in perspective, Josh. Those two guys right now have earned more money in free agency in the last two offseasons than the San Diego Padres did combined in the last 25 years. In total free agents. So the $550 million basically for Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado. And quite honestly, I believe that the Royals are a better team right now than the San Diego Padres are. I'm willing to go out on a limb right now and say that the Royals will finish with more wins this year than the San Diego Padres. Because I look at the Royals rotation right now, and I like what I see in the Royals rotation. I like the guys that I see out there. The Padres I look at, you don't know any of these guys that are in their rotation. And you can spend all this money that you want on a first baseman and all this money you want on a third baseman, and both are very nice, obvious players. Eric Hosmer, a very nice player. Manny Machado, a very nice player as well. But at the end of the day, the currency in Major League Baseball is and always will continue to be pitching. If you don't have the pitching to match up, you're not going to have success, because much like you look at the Chiefs and what they did this year, Josh, as fun as the offense was, ultimately you have to stop somebody and prevent the other team from scoring. Chiefs were not able to do that. They revamped their entire defensive coaching staff and are looking to fix the defensive side of the football. That's the way it is in baseball as well. You can put up all these runs and score all these runs, but eventually you have to prevent the opposition from going out there and scoring, and the Padres did not do a very good job of that last year. I don't believe they signed anybody or added anybody via free agency this winter from a pitching standpoint. So you look at the Padres, you're asking the Padres right now, as we start the season today, that they're going to have to go out there and manufacture 5 to 6 runs per game to outscore and give themselves the best chance to win a baseball game because of their pitching staff. That's tough to do, especially in the West when you're facing Clayton Kershaw. You know, you're facing some of the guys that are on the Dodgers and in their rotation week in and week out, day in and day out. The Rockies are still a very good team, you know, in the National League West. So you're at best right now fourth, because the Diamondbacks are still a pretty darn good team. You're facing Zach Greinke probably 5 or 6 times a year. How are you going to go out there as San Diego and put up enough runs to combat what you're doing, you know, from a pitching standpoint? I think it's very tough, and this is not sour grapes or anything like that. I just look at it and go, you spent $300 million on a third baseman, and you still have no pitching, and you still absolutely have no pitching. And I bet you if you cornered San Diego in a room and gave them some truth serum, they would say, we would trade our entire rotation for the Royals rotation right now.
Not to mention, I just feel like West Coast is just a place you go and you play, and unless you're the Dodgers, nobody notices.
Nobody really notices you, yeah. And that's the thing. The pressure's off Manny Machado. I mean, it's a nice lineup, Josh. I mean, you look at Eric Hosmer, you look at Machado, you look at Will Myers, you're like, that's a nice 3-4-5 right there in the middle of the lineup. But you still have to find a way to get dudes out, and I don't know if the Padres are equipped to do that.
My favorite part of this story doesn't involve San Diego, and not everyone was mad about Machado. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
News in sports being the $300 million deal Manny Machado has agreed to with the San Diego Padres.
What? Was this in the news?
As they continue to spend money.
Somebody did a great breakdown of their prospects, Josh. All their top hitters are in the majors or in AAA, and their top pitchers are in AA or single A right now. And so Manny Machado has the opt-out after five years, right? Eric Hosmer has the opt-out in 4 more years. You better make some trades right now, guys, if you want to get those guys to recommit and still be part of your organization, because if the pitching doesn't get to the level that it has to get to, they're not going to be a very good team. I was just going through some of their numbers last year. Every starter was an ERA in the 4s, and that's in the National League where you get a free out every third inning with the pitcher hitting. So you've got to find a way to do better from a pitching standpoint. I just, again, it's great if you're a Padres fan to have Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer and all these guys, But I just don't know that it's going to equate to wins. The older I get, the more turned off I become by free agency and the more turned on I become by doing it the right way and developing guys through the minor league system and bringing them up, because I think that's – I don't want to say it's a foolproof way to do it, because we've seen minor league system fail, obviously. But you have a better chance at success and sustained success if you can go out there and just develop guys and keep them in your system and keep a constant pipeline going than going out there and throwing $300 million at a third baseman. It
turns you on, huh?
It does turn me on.
Now, my favorite part of this story isn't about San Diego. It's about who didn't get him, and it was in the division for the Royals.
Yeah.
The White Sox really thought they had a deal in place that Machado would accept. And it turns out it was more money than the $300 million, but it wasn't 10 for 300, which looks great.
He
right?
he wanted the opt-out. The White Sox don't do that, and he wanted the $300 million.
So they reportedly offered 8 years, $250 million, mm-hmm. plus then options for ninth and 10th year at $35 million each.
Right, so it would have put him over but it wasn't guaranteed.
Right, so yeah. it was like 325 over 10, which would have been more money, obviously, mm-hmm. but it wasn't there were two option years at the end, the final 2 years. So it would have been correct. More money. But they were genuinely surprised that Machado didn't end up being a White Sox. The GM, Rick Hahn, addressing, I guess, his fans yesterday.
We should be proud of the aggressiveness and creativity of our offer, which we were told not only was extremely competitive, but if the reports that are out there are accurate, was superior to what was ultimately accepted in certain ways. That said, this is free agency. These players have worked extremely hard to get to this point, and they have choices. Again, from the rawness and selfish standpoint, or my individual standpoint, trying really hard and failing is not sufficient. This isn't the last time we're going to be pursuing premium talent, and we're not going to convert on all of them. Learned that lesson harshly today. But we aren't going to shy away from continuing to try to make this team better.
Now, I'm kind of laughing because, I mean, he was genuinely, like, bummed. Like, we can't – what?
Yeah.
We can't believe this happened. But then I laugh because it's in the division. But also, credit the White Sox for coming out and realizing that it was a big enough deal that they needed to go tell their fans, hey, man, we tried. In fact, we had a better offer. We had a better dollar offer on the table, and he took something else. And we're going to continue to try to go and get people – I mean, that's a great message to send to your fans.
Well, it is. And you know, the Royals did that after, you know, Eric Hosmer went and signed and with the Padres.
And I
right?
felt great about it.
Hey, we made our best offer. We gave the guy $100 million. Yeah. He just decided to go another wet direction.
Yeah. And didn't you feel better about it? Like, man, they did all they could.
Right. Everything they could.
They exhausted everything they could, and the guy took another offer. I feel like if you're a White Sox fan, you probably should feel that today, too. Like,
right.
Did everything he could. In fact, he had more money out there, and he went somewhere else. So, you know, go after the next guy. But at least they didn't, like, just pretend like they didn't need to say anything. Mm-hmm. They went out and got in front of their fans and said, hey, man, we tried our best. We thought we put the best offer to get him.
Well, you know, 10 years ago, maybe you don't have to address the fans, but everybody knows how it works right now with you know, the internet rumors and everything like that. Everybody's dialed into what's going on. And so when you get that close and it looks like you are going to be the team that lands Manny Machado and then you don't end up getting him, it does pay to go out and talk to your fans. And it curries favor with them too, Josh. I think you gain a lot by going out there and saying, hey, this is exactly what we offered. Much like when Al Davis fired Lane Kiffin in Oakland and he addressed everything in a 7-hour press conference with slides and everything about why he fired the guy. That's exactly what the White Sox did yesterday. They rolled it out there and said, look, we offered the guy more money, and he decided to take a better offer. I also like when Rick Hahn was taking us through his day, you know, leading up to finally getting that news and how he grew more cynical as the minutes went on from the time he last talked to the agent to the time he heard that the deal was getting done with San Diego, and he grew more and more cynical about it, didn't think the deal was going to get done. And his feelings obviously proved out to be true. And so it's cool to see your GM, if you're a White Sox fan, feeling that same type of emotion and riding the same type of emotion that fans are riding.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they continue to swing and miss on.
Oh, races. Absolutely, yeah.
Because they are apparently willing to spend a bunch of money, which isn't good news.
You know, Chicago's a great city. Everybody loves Chicago. I've never met anybody who goes, oh, Chicago's terrible. But you don't go there and play for the White Sox. That's terrible. That's like playing for the Mets
or
something.
That continues to be the case. You know, that would be awesome.
So, oh, you work in Chicago? What are you doing? I'm playing for the White Sox. Oh, the Cubs? White Sox. Like, you don't want to admit that you play, like, the White Sox are just kind of out there, man. Nobody really cares about them.
Continue to do what you're doing, White Sox. Meanwhile, not everybody was disappointed they didn't land Machado. The Yankees were, of course, whenever there's a big dollar deal, they're supposed to be in on it, right?
And if you don't get a guy, you're considered cheap. Another reason why the White Sox had to come out and say it, because now in sports, if you don't sign a guy, you're perceived to be a cheap organization.
We actually offered him more.
Yeah.
So, boom. SNY was down at the Yankees spring training. The group of fans in the stands, and they make the announcement just to see what the reaction was from the crowd that was gathered at the stadium. Hey, Machado signs with San Diego. And a kid, he's probably, what, 9, 10 years old?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
He's been, nobody's found out his age or his name yet or anything, but he steals the show on SNY TV.
Machado just signed a $300 million deal with the Padres.
Oh, I don't want Machado on the Yankees!
Why not?
The good. Kid's right.
Kid goes,
you know?
Good. I don't want Machado on the Yankees.
The kid's right, though, man. He's right. Like Machado played for the Orioles.
Bombs for the division.
Yeah, I don't want any of those rivals on my team. And how all of a sudden would we react if Philip Rivers was our quarterback after 12 years of hating him out in San Diego and rooting against him? And now all of a sudden he's our guy, right? How do you start rooting for Phyllis Rivers? And the kid mentioned Josh Donaldson as well, but that kind of plays here in Kansas City a little bit, with Josh Donaldson. How all of a sudden do you start rooting for a guy that you are really, really, really rooting against, or Jose Bautista or somebody like that who you absolutely hated and rooted against 18 times a year because they were your division rival, now part of your team? I like the kid's moxie by him saying that, because I was listening to the kid. I'm like, kind of like I was when I was a kid yelling and screaming like that. But also he understands, man, that sports still can be about rivalries. And I can't go rooting against this guy for the last 6 years. Then all of a sudden he puts on my uniform and I'm supposed to root for him. How am I supposed to get rid of those feelings right away? And so I think it's cool. It kind of was like, man, I wish sports was kind of still like that, where we had that kind of childlike view of the entire world where I'm not rooting for Manny Machado. I didn't want him here. That guy was the enemy. I hate that guy. I'm glad he's not part of my team now.
I love that kid, future New York sports talk radio caller.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic.
He's already getting ready.
Yeah, he's well-versed.
Who else would be on that KC list, though? Like, what athlete could you not root for in Kansas City because you spent so much time rooting against him?
Well, I was like A.J. Pierzynski when he was like bouncing around with team, like, oh, you better not.
You wouldn't root for him.
No, I never would root for that guy. You mentioned Philip Rivers, but pre-Mahomes, I don't know that I would have.
You would have brought him in like, yes. Peyton Manning, kind of like, yeah, that
yeah,
type of deal. Sure.
I think it would have been pretty easy to go. Is it an upgrade? Is it better? Yeah, okay. Does he get out? You steal him from a division rival as well? Yeah. So, I mean, I think it would depend on the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Rivers, it would be very hard for me to all of a sudden root for that guy, because I'd be like, oh, God, I spent 12 years ripping this guy. Now
and it depends, too, what stage of their career they're in.
Right. Yeah. Like, if you get Peyton Manning.
You got somebody in their kind of prime from a division rival, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all.
Like, who would be that guy right now that you would like to go just pluck from a division rival in baseball? Because I don't know that there really is that guy per se.
Who about Trevor Bauer?
Trevor Bauer. We'll get to him a little bit later on. But, yeah, I'd take Trevor Bauer in the rotation.
Ladies,
right,
look
now.
Out. But Trevor Bauer might be one. But, I mean, if you could somehow weaken the Indians, I would definitely be looking at something like that. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all.
That's a good one. I would take him. But from a football perspective, I mean, Marcus is as close, obviously, as we get. But he had a vendetta against the Raiders.
Which was even better.
So you're more than, happy to have him. And Carl Peterson talked about that with me on the podcast. You can check it out at 610sports.com about the whole process of getting Marcus Allen and how that went down. It was pretty, it's pretty cool to look behind the curtain and see how that one all happened. But, that's really the only guy that went directly from the Raiders to the Chiefs when the rivalry mattered. And switched allegiances. You just don't see that, a lot anymore. Did Bronco fans root for Neil Smith, like once he went over to Denver? Do they consider him one of their own? Because I've talked to people in Denver, like, he's a Chief.
I feel like Bo Jackson kind of helped soften that blow, though, Like, having to root for Bo Jackson as a Raider, and then when Marcus Allen came, you're like, all right, I could do this.
The Bo Jackson thing is really bizarre because he played for us, but yet played for our hated rival as well. So, like, what do you do
in that
situation?
I would take Miguel Cabrera in a heartbeat.
Cabrera, still today, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
And Brian Dozier when he was in the division, but who's he with, the Nationals now?
Is he the one that hit, like, all home runs constantly?
Brian Dozier?
Dozier? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Six. There's a White Sox that hits home runs at the Kauffman with alarming regularity.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Can't remember his name. He's like a right fielder.
Jim Thome is his name.
And the only time he hits home runs is at Kauffman Stadium. It's not Jim Thome.
69306 on the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. And Kansas City wins again. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
.69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You're also less than 30 minutes away from winning stuff. $25 gift card to New Axiom Brewing, our 7 o'clock prize just for listening.
I like that a lot.
Find out how coming up at 7 o'clock.
And you're going to need beer after dealing with the roads today, I'll tell you that.
Next week, you'll want to be listening each and every day at 10:30 with Show and Vern.
Why?
The 610 Combine is underway this weekend. Sunday will be the 610 Combine. Your favorite and least favorite personalities will be competing in various Combine events. And each day will reveal who did the best at such events.
I'm going to wreck this thing.
I found out that the bench press is 125 pounds.
How many times? You have to do it a certain amount of times? Is that what we got to do here?
Yes. Yeah, that's yes. Yeah, we're going to see who could do it the most.
So vertical jump, long jump, bench press, Wunderlich test, and the 40-yard dash.
I can't wait for everyone to realize that the guy that tells fart jokes is the smartest guy on the staff.
Oh, you are probably going to do well. I've already told you guys, I'm gonna bomb the Wunderlich test. There's no question. I know I'm going to be terrible at that thing.
So the crew, the entire crew will be out at
your world.
Hy-Vee Arena competing on Sunday, and then each day next week at 10:30, the results of the 610 Combine will be released. We won't even know the results until they're released.
That's right.
Each and every day. And then videos at 610sports.com should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to participate and destroy everybody in the 610 Combine.
Mm.
Who gets hurt?
I mean, I feel like I'm a front runner for pulling a hammy.
See, no, I disagree.
No, I don't think you'll overdo it. Yeah. It'll be somebody that will try to do too much and get hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think you'll overdo it.
No, I think like Fanning, I think, is the odds-on favorite to get hurt.
Fanning could get hurt.
Yeah. He's definitely going to blow a patella tendon. Yeah, he is the
odds-on favorite to get injured on this one. And nobody signed a waiver either for Spectre on this one. This is all on him. If somebody gets hurt, it's his ass.
And then
we weren't even consulted about that.
He's already bugging us about when to come do the Wunderlich. I'm trying to debate like what time to do the Wunderlich. I'd rather do it at like 5 a.m.
Yeah, give it to me now.
Like, I feel like I'm a little sharper than mm-hmm. like 10:30 or 11 o'clock when the brain starts to go mushy. So this Wunderlich thing kind of has me worried.
Yeah, I'm not going to do well on the Wunderlich. I've already resigned myself to that. I just don't care.
Uh-huh.
Standardized tests.
Maybe that's
have
maybe
never
that,
been
sounds like you're having a built-in excuse there.
Are there some don't cares on the Wunderlich?
Yeah, DC.
A, B, C, D, or don't care.
Don't care.
Do we have to bring our own Scantron for that?
We do, and a number two pencil. Yeah,
no hanging chads.
Nothing like that at all.
So the 610 Combine takes place a Sunday at Hy-Vee Arena, and then every day next week at 10:30, be listening for the results. Should be some fun.
I'm looking forward to seeing the H. I haven't been down there yet since they've redone it, so it's going to be a lot of fun for that as well on Sunday.
At Barstool Mizzou,
who
posted a poll yesterday, and it was just a very simple question. Guys, it's time we settle this. Which is better, St. Louis or Kansas City?
Oh, that's a question that's never been asked.
71%. Kansas City. It's not even close.
It's not even close. It's a runaway.
It's the definitive. It's time we settle this, it says. So it's been settled.
Right. 16,185 votes in the
poll. Kansas City's better.
Kansas City is much better by a 7-2 margin. That's all you need.
Yep.
That is all you need. Or 7-3 margin, I guess. But that's all you really need. Kansas City is better than St. Louis, and it's not even close. They could have just asked me. I would have given them the answer right away. I mean, they didn't have to go through this whole polling process and surveying
people. What would that answer be?
Well, the people, number one. The people in Kansas City make Kansas City better than the people in St. Louis, because for the most part, the people in St. Louis aren't nice. They just aren't. They are self-absorbed with their high school days, and that's all they really care about, and bad cheese. And they don't even have football. So here in Kansas City, we have much better people than you could ever offer up in St. Louis. So it's not even close. So they should have just called me. I would have given them the answer, and this poll would have been done weeks ago, months ago, years ago. If they
Who has better toasted ravioli?
Nobody. It's somebody dropped ravioli into the fryer, and they're like, here's a delicacy. I mean, that's how it happened. All of St. Louis delicacies were by accident.
Don't besmirch the name of toasted ravioli.
It's
They're
fried
delicious.
Ravioli. You can make that yourself. You don't need to go to St. Louis and, you know, be involved in crime and STDs in order to get toasted ravioli.
Murder and heroin.
Yeah. I think Mox's
plenty of
own
crime
kid.
And STDs and toasted ravioli is right here, though.
Not as much. Okay, our crime rate's lower and our STD rate is lower. Don't you bite your tongue.
Well, it's a difference of like fifth and seventh.
St. Louis is number one in both categories, okay? They got the stranglehold on the STDs.
Sometimes you only have to beat one team or one city or whatever.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Why can't we just take the, you know, like rooting for the AL Central route here where we're like, well, we're both from Missouri. Let's just root for
beat
them.
Man,
no? No good?
No thanks.
Okay. I don't root for anybody else in the AL Central.
I don't either.
Yeah, that's a bad example on your part.
Just saying there's a lot of people that do that.
You're sounding like the KU fan in the NCAA tournament when KU gets knocked out early. Well, let's root for the rest of the league now because we really want our league to do good.
Not really.
Not really. Don't care. Once my team's out, I'm done. Let's shout it out. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. What do we got today, Rhino?
785 asks which 6'10 host at the Combine will pull a Chris Jones in the 40-yard dash.
We're hoping Ryan.
I'm actually thinking about setting it up to where it is me.
Yeah, we're hoping Ryan does that.
I don't know how that's going to translate to the video.
I don't know how that's going to happen with you wearing a suit, though, because aren't we supposed to run the 40 in a suit?
That's correct, just like Rich Eisen does. Yeah. So that's how everyone runs
it. I think
it.
We just told you that to see if you'd show up in a suit.
816, a good mushroom gravy is the dark horse of gravies.
Ooh, I like that.
White
I
gravy,
like that.
Massively overrated.
I totally agree 100% with that. That mushroom gravy sounds good, man.
Yeah, give mushroom me some gravy is real solid. I like a good giblet gravy, too.
I'll tell you, man, this pork chop I had at Jasper's a couple weeks ago with this porcini mushroom sauce to a new level. To a new level, so I'm in on the mushroom gravy right now.
That's right up your alley, Bob. What's a bigger ripoff, pawn shops or how many potato chips come in a bag?
Oh, the potato chips. When I was in second grade, I wrote a letter to the Lance Company complaining about the amount of potato chips that were in the bag. They sent me a nice case of snacks. They did a nice job.
So they bought little fat Bobby off with a box of chips.
Correct. Wasn't the last time I wrote a company either, I'll tell you that right now.
Like a handwritten letter?
Well, back then, you had no other choice.
You could have used a typewriter.
Typewriter, yeah.
Ah, they were screwing you back then. We weren't spending money on a typewriter.
I made an observation, too, about both of you. You two are the only two I know that use the double space after a sentence.
You're supposed to.
I don't think that's the case, is it?
That's how we were taught in typing class.
That's exactly why I was like, yeah, this is...
Are you not supposed to double space after a sentence anymore?
I don't think so.
Period,
I don't know.
Two spaces?
Yeah, period, space, space.
Yeah, both of you guys do that. I'm like, yeah, these two dudes grew up on typewriters.
Not typewriters, word processors. Dottie Arndt was my typing teacher, and she used to do A, space, S, space, D, space.
Cool. And then she'd print out, like, banners on that logger printer and let you play Oregon Trail and Number
Matrix
Munchers.
Printer, yeah. It was like, God,
Number Munchers was my jam back in the day. Can I get a shout-out to the Midwest Crawlers Off-Road Jeep Club out this morning giving free rides to first responders and hospital personnel?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I heard that story yesterday on KMBZ. Pretty cool deal that when the weather gets bad, throw it in four-wheel drive and they'll get you to work.
Oh, I like that. Cool. That's awesome, man. Way to go. How do we hook those guys up and help them, you know, for the cause, like with gas money or something? Is there a website people can go throw a couple of bucks at them and help them out?
Yeah. They got a Venmo or something?
I don't know, man. If they're helping others, let's step it up and help them.
All right, well, 913, get it back at me.
Yeah, let me know.
Let me know. My girlfriend is a vegetarian and refuses to eat animal crackers.
Well, are they made with lard or something? Like animal lard? Is there some kind of trace of animal product in them? Butter? You know, maybe butter counts as a meat product? I don't know.
I think it was a joke, actually.
Oh.
I think it was a joke. What's up with all this white stuff? Snow.
That'd be terrible.
Oh, seventh snow day of the year.
Big fan of this. 785. When a city's ran by mostly liberals, Detroit and St. Louis is what you get.
Okay.
816 says Highway 69 is a real mouthful.
It is. Today, it's really bad.
Okay.
I didn't feel like the snow was as slick today, but we were doing like four wide out on 35, and I'm like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not Daytona out there.
The streets in Overland Park, terrible. Terrible. Like, Overland Park just gives up now. They don't even bother plowing. The highways, meh. And then, I don't know, Mission must have their own dedicated plow to Shawnee Mission Parkway, because that was blacktop and wonderful this
morning. It
could
be like the Daytona 500 out there. Like a 21-car pile.
Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't want that. No. You don't want that at all.
It's another fun thing.
A lot of the time, it's dudes in trucks that are just going way too fast because they think they can, when you should slow it down a little bit. Just because you have a truck or a Jeep or a four-wheel drive vehicle doesn't mean you drive like it's sunny and 70 out today.
Don't look at me. I do not do that.
I'm not looking at you.
Cool.
I was.
I'm looking at Ryan. How was the Missouri side today?
Terrible. Stereotypical Missouri.
I think Overland Park.
I'm not even going to lie. When I was coming in, I have to come through the downtown loop, so I'm coming in off of 35 into the Kansas side. It was snow-packed all the way to the state line, and then it was clear blacktop.
Yeah, the plows were out on 35 today. I think Overland Park hears that all the school districts are going to cancel, and that gives them the ability to not have to plow the streets, and so they just let it go. Because the last three snows that we've had, Overland Park has just decided they're not plowing.
Liberals.
Well, the schools are out, so that means we're off. No, it means you still got to plow the streets so everybody else can get out and do their thing. Terrible this morning. 35 okay. Mission, congratulations. You guys hit a home run.
They get the ribbon today?
They do. They've been great the last couple of times, too. As soon as you hit Shawnee Mission Parkway and the Mission city limits, they do an amazing job plowing the streets. So I want to give them a lot of credit this morning.
816 says they're putting their 2 weeks in today.
Good luck to you. Don't be a burn bridger. Or a bridge burner.
That too.
There's few things as just personally satisfying as quitting a job. It's phenomenal.
Really? For you?
I have never really been given the option to quit jobs. I'm typically fired from them. So
you haven't done the, well, yeah, I quit.
I quit one time and it felt really good.
Are you one of those guys that thinks the place can't survive without you?
No, they'll find some other a-hole to do my job.
Nobody's there.
That is Shouted Out. Our key play coming up. And want more of a circus in Lawrence? Like a LeVar circus? We'll explain next.
Get rid of every liberal in government.
Fesco in the morning.
Time for the key play brought to you by Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Check them out in the Crossroads. Open for breakfast, open for lunch. They will cater breakfast and lunch as well. Broadway Deli, the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. We had a slobber knocker last night in college basketball. My goodness. Let's head to the Big Ten. It's Purdue and Indiana.
Carson Edwards. 10 seconds left. Out by the timeline. Here he comes. One-on-one. Stops. He shoots. He misses. And it's tipped in by Harms.
Yeah, that was the game-winning call on the Boiler Sports Network.
Yeah, really? That'll make you want to run through a wall.
15th-ranked Purdue with a tip-in bucket at the buzzer to beat rival Indiana.
Let's go!
48-46.
That program's really fallen off since Gene Hackman left.
Yeah, it really has.
The first of 50, and they couldn't get there.
48-46 was the final?
That was the final.
And these were ranked teams?
One was.
Why are we trotting this stuff out and calling it entertainment?
Purdue moves to 12-3 in the Big Ten with a thriller and a tip in at the buzzer by Matt Harms.
I mean, you just heard the excitement.
All the excitement.
Voice.
Carson Edwards. 10 seconds left. Out by the timeline. Here he comes. One-on-one. Stops. He shoots. He misses. And it's tipped in by Harms.
Oh, yeah. It's a win.
Hey, we don't have to put up with more of this crap. It's going
to
be over.
I get to go have a cocktail.
Even they didn't want to be there. 48-46 final. Never been better.
Yeah, it's fantastic
Purdue
stuff.
Over Indiana.
I think college basketball's never been better.
I don't know how I found my way to... What was that on ESPN2? Had to be.
Oh, you even went to the Deuce last night. See, I was watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I want to say that was right before.
It was right before Baylor and Iowa State.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I was
watching flipping around games last night, too, and it came across that with like 3 minutes ago. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I had to double check like 3 minutes and a half. No, it's
well, you sent me the screenshot.
It's the second half. I'm like, oh no, this is bad.
I thought it was the first half. I'm like, oh, that's not a bad scoring first half. Oh, that's 2 minutes left to go in the game. So what was the score with 2 minutes to go?
Oh, they were falling down and dropping it out of bounds, and it was an awful final 3 minutes too.
I mean,
it was like 41-40 or something. At that
I think
point,
you sent the with 2 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go. It was 43-41.
43-41.
43-41. Indiana. 46. And at 48-46, who won the game? Purdue, right?
Yeah.
So they went on a 8-7-6-5-5-4
run or something like that.
6-1. It was 5-5 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Real barn burner.
5-5 in the last 3 minutes, they scored 10 points.
Yep.
Well, so they should have ran the swinging gate. They would have.
I mean,
Indiana
could have
put that one away.
It's just unbelievable how unwatchable college basketball has become.
Then you need to watch Buffalo. Then last night, I think they put up like .112.
Did they?
Like that.
Who they play? Marist.
I would contend that the Real Housewives of Beverly Hill is more unwatchable than what I put up with last night.
I don't think so.
Did you see some duck faces last night?
A lot of duck faces. A lot of women in their 60s with, you know, Botox lips. A lot of people dealing with problems nobody else can relate to. Or Purdue, Indiana. You tell me which is more exciting. Mm. That Purdue, Indiana game, man. That 5-5 in the last 3 minutes. Woo! Holy cow. Get the hell out of the way. This entertainment option is on my television set, and I need to watch it now. Reruns of It's a Living with Crystal Bernard are better than what college basketball's rolling
Crystal
out
Bernard
right
had
now.
A second show?
First show.
Oh, that was
that
first
was
show.
The first show.
Before Wings.
Before Wings.
Then says what? Nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing.
It's a Living right now.
It's on Logo right now. I've got the DVR set. What? I'm recording all of them.
Logo?
Yes. Do you watch Logo?
I
it's a good
not
channel.
Logoed.
They've got It's a Living. They've got Three's Company.
It had a 9-year run.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
According to IMDb, it did.
It was a living.
Mm-hmm.
Six seasons.
I'm not sure.
Spanning 9 years.
I know I wouldn't sign up for this circus, but LaMelo Ball, let's not forget, he's still out there.
He's available.
The youngest Ball brother is contemplating college. We can also find out that the web series Ball in the Family is still running.
It is?
Yes. According to this story on Yahoo, LaMelo is got his sights set on college.
Good for him.
Balls is?
LaMelo telling Lonzo at the dinner table he's been recruited by Kansas and USC.
God, I hope he signs with the Jayhawks. At least it would give you something entertaining to talk about.
Rock chuck.
I mean, could you imagine having LeVar over
There's not a lot of stuff to talk about the Kansas basketball program.
LaMelo says, oh, I'm going for sure now, LaMelo said of college. Quote, I actually talked to USC 2 days ago. I'm talking to KU.
Nice. I'm in. I like it. Bring the circus to Lawrence, man. Set up shop. Let's go.
I don't wish this on Bill Self.
Bill Self did it to himself.
He's calling LaMelo, though. That is on him.
That's on him. I don't wish. You sent me that message last night. You're like, don't you feel bad for Bill? I'm like, he's the guy who's making the phone
don't
call.
Don't be doing this. Don't be doing this. So he's playing at something called Spire Institute, an elite basketball-focused high school in Ohio now.
Right. They're down for their chemistry department.
Remember, LaMelo played in Lithuania.
Mm-hmm. He was dropping like 82.
I don't know how they're going to get his eligibility cleared.
Well, I mean, if they can get Sylvia.
He's playing
eligible.
In some, you know, high school league, which you can kind of do, but he'd have some NCAA issues to get through.
It's okay
as well,
to play in high school after going over and playing pro, but you can't play in college after
correct.
Going.
Well, he's, you know, he's prep school. Prep school basketball.
Gotcha.
There are basically no rules.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA, there's a few.
Well, we don't know them.
We don't know them.
What are they?
Or who enforces them, but it sounds like he would probably have a long climb to become NCAA eligible. But according to LaMelo, he's being recruited by Kansas and USC.
I'm all in, baby. Let's go. Bring the circus to Lawrence. Ugh. Set up the tents. Let's do it.
Your chance to win a $25 gift card to New Axiom Brewing. That's right. We give stuff away each and every day at 7 and 8 o'clock just for listening. Find out details in just a couple of minutes. And a big year ahead for Andy. Maybe he's itching about it. We'll explain next.
Balls is?
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.